Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into them.
Good Thursday afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, your favorite duo on Eagle FM, your favorite radio station. And this is your drive time show. And if you find yourself in the parts of the country where we have a very, well, very nice weather, it's cloudy with a little bit of some shower, and they say, at least on my way here, I was thinking, well, it's a perfect weather that contributes both, positively both to agriculture and population. Until that's when I go to the office, and then one of my colleagues, here basically ruined that. I thought to me, then, well, just watch out, because this weather, at least when it comes to agriculture, there's nothing negative about it, because, well, we're not flooding. But when it comes to the population aspect of things, there's weather for two and baby for one type of situation going on. Now, let's just not make it that, guys, please. Understand that actions have consequences, and sometimes you just have to, develop a pair and then just face the music. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, they say. So that's why I feel like we don't give ourselves a lot of credit every time that we weather a storm. We just get it on the other side and then we start, casually talking about it. But now I'm not here to give, advice on what to do with your free time in this weather. Just here to talk about the, with the regular Home Run that is bringing you your usual, informative discussions until that is the hour of 5 o'clock. Then we'll have a 10 minutes interview. Then we'll come back again. Then we'll come back again to a Home Run as usual. So, where are we? Oh no, I didn't even start. Today's discussion is based on, today's discussion is based on a collabo, one that has always been in existence, one that is very common in the, discussion of information distribution or information dissemination. That's a collabo, that is a collabo between academics and the media. Now, wherever you go, you are going to find that the media and academics they have to work together. Because more often, the people that are involved in academic works don't have the platform to share the information of the finding or whatever it is that they're working on. And most of it may be important, whether this is agriculture-based or science-based or medicine-based or just, about diplomacy. Take, for example, policy research, for example. The media is needed by experts in various fields for them to communicate their information to whoever their audience are. If you want to reach women about a particular product that you are putting up, a particular product or a particular policy that's being produced, or a particular, medical research that's being done, and maybe a conclusion has been reached about how this particular research or how this particular product or how this particular disease or medical condition impact men or the elderly or young people. So you obviously want this information to reach the targeted audience. Now, if you are doing a research on baby milk formula, for example, your
your target audience would be parents and parents-to-be. So for you to reach these people, for this information reaching your target audience straight from a research facility, take for example at a university, that's a tricky one because there is not a lot of information coming out of the university, at least not one that is distributed on, distributed by platforms that have a wider reach like yours truly here. Eagle FM, you're welcome. Now, all this brings up a discussion that's not new. It's as old as time. It's just that as in everything else, the collab between the academics and the media is one that has been going on since time immemorial. But how do we make it better incorporating in all the changes that are happening in the in both the academics and media's and media industry? That's a discussion worth having, and one of the things that all these two disciplines have in common is that both the academics and media discipline are being transformed. I don't want to say impacted because that have some negativity to it. Now, let's go with transform. Both these disciplines are facing significant transformation thanks to technological advancements. Now, when you factor in all these things, it's important to have a discussion over how can individuals from these two disciplines come and work together to achieve a certain goal, and which is when the information is being done, when research on a subject is being done, research is this is where I think the word research now becomes a very broad one because it's involved in unless you are looking at research from an academic standpoint, then it's based on a lot of technicalities that requires conducting research as per specific research methodologies required in the field of research because it's a field of study on its own. Now I know that the word research is one of those words that we have basically watered down in meaning. I'm not complaining because I use it a lot, where I'll just spend five minutes on YouTube and say I did a research. Well, to be fair, I did a research and leave me alone. Now, how these two disciplines then can collaborate in terms of information dissemination is a subject worth having because you have people that are conducting the research, and you have the people that people that have the power to conduct the research, and you have the people that have and I'm talking about the academic prolis here. You have people that have the academic prolis to conduct the research, and you have the people that have the platform and the power to basically disseminate this information. This subject took me straight to high school.
Well, first, in some cases, it might lead us to another collision point.
There are a lot of collision points. Okay, now I'll point out one where one that makes me think basically made me jump in joy to this to this topic, and that is communication. Mm. Communication is not easy. Because
no, Helmut, it's easy.
I'm saying
it's a science. It's a discipline. It's easy.
Not
easy. I'm lying. You are right.
Explain this part. Make I explain
no,
my
you
point
are right.
of view.
You already won, Helmut. Don't worry.
Thank you. Now, take for example, you are a professor, right? You are doing a research on a subject. Yeah. You understand that subject from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
But you can't just share that information in a way that's digestible to people like Helmut. You have the knowledge.
No, but Helmut.
But you can't break it down.
Helmut, wait. What? You can't think of you as the layperson. Uh-huh. Remember, Helmut, you and I, as we're sitting here, we are of a specific kind of demographic of Namibians. We passed high school, meaning you had to pass grade 12 to get into university.
That's too much for my ego, but go on.
You already complete. You at least attended more than 1 year of university.
Yeah.
an ad break?
Yeah, we have a commercial break coming up. We have to pay the bills and we'll continue on the other side. Just remember, we have an interview coming up at exactly 5 o'clock. Just some heads up.
Save and win at WB in the Pick a Box birthday promo. Enter today with your Smart Buy card. Get 4 kg Cadilla Mixed Chicken for $189.99. 1 kg Pasta Grande Spaghetti for $19.99. 750 gram Nola Mayo for just $37.99. And 2 kg Sunlight Hand Wash Powder for only $52.99. Learn more about Pick a Box at www.vurmanbrock.com. T's and C's apply. We care.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
I know sometimes I'm very good at fanning the flames.
Yeah.
So we are back.
Yeah.
You were saying.
So you and I.
We are not lay.
We are not lay people. Even though we can think like lay people, meaning ordinary people.
Yeah.
But you and I already, Helmut, we are part of really a privileged bracket of Namibians. I mean, I've got, not to brag, but already I've got 2-3 year programs under my belt, plus extended certifications and these workshop things that we media get invited to here. You know, someone feels, for example, like in the green hydrogen or the hydrogen sphere.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to tell the media how to understand the subject. But I mean, here on Eagle FM, we already at that time spoke like a whole year and a half.
I think we are report based people, like reports. And
No, but we reported on green hydrogen and we explained what green hydrogen technology can do.
Yeah.
A whole year and a half before, for example, the one workshop I was invited to attend 2 years back. And even then, for example, the journalists that, because it was for media, this masterclass in green hydrogen, the journalists there, they were already thinking, but the solar panels and the wind turbines, why can't that be switched on and tuned into the NamPower grid to sort out Namibia's electricity need? But you and I, Helmut, consistently we've pointed towards this discussion of what people don't understand is that there's a price tag to things.
Everything.
The reason why the solar panels and that wind turbines are being used just for production of green hydrogen is primarily that's what the proposal said. It didn't say anything about selling electricity to NamPower. That proposal, that master plan, that whatever you know it, it's free to download, it's free to view on the various websites here in Namibia. It speaks towards as the fuel to literally power the electrolyzer that will split the molecule, the oxygen molecule from the hydrogen molecules. It will split water.
Literally.
It's not there for powering the rural communities for power. No. Because that was literally firstly how the journalists and some of the journalists in that masterclass entered that discussion. Now, obviously, as you can see there, the person giving the training is an astrophysicist from Swakopmund. He's an astrophysicist. Yeah. Because the other guy that I once interviewed is a nuclear physicist. So, the astrophysicist, that's now Dr. von Urzen, he was asked that question. Yeah. So why can't we just use the
solar,
the renewable energy sources to power Namibia's needs? Because von Urzen explained it like this. That's the astrophysicist. It's about 7,000 hectares. for solar panels installation. That would be the energy need. And it's about approximately another 7,000 hectares. So it's two small resettlement farms right next to each other. That's the size of the installations. They're close to Ludritz. That will be powering the necessary process at Ludritz for you know, the electrolyzers and to generate the ammonia and the green hydrogen.
Electrolyzer, is this one of those devices that came out of Siemens?
Yeah, the electrolyzers was the actual device, like, needed to make the hydrogen.
Is it the splitting thing?
Yeah. It looks like two pieces of film, if you think about it, like not cloth, but like it diverts the oxygen molecule somewhere else and it captures the hydrogen molecules in another spot. So it's almost like a separation splitting chamber situation between these, but I don't know if they're membranes with what the electrolyzer consists of, but it's literally this piece of technology. The journalists in the class, specifically in the class, were asking, yeah, but we can solve Namibia's needs. But that's not what the investor wants. Now, from that premise, Helmut, you and I can already identify how positions are established. Remember what I told you about the, in commercial law, the essential requirements to a contract. You must identify the thing that has the price. You must identify the price and you must identify the place of delivery. But before that, you must identify who's the seller and who's the buyer. So technically, you've got five requirements to this contract. Now, clearly, when we look at this particular discussion and it factors into our talk here about, the media and academia collaborating, in many cases, Helmut, academia wants media in its realm. Just like the mining sector wants media in its corner. Mm-hmm. Government and politicians want the media in its corner. So yes, you can obviously see.
I'm skeptical of those guys.
No, but even mining companies, Helmut. Also be skeptical of mining companies.
Yeah, I know that. And I wasn't until,
Chile is a very good example of what mining companies do to a country.
Who is this? Mr. Shobon in his introduction to Namibian economy explains that, just lightning. Our internet is rock solid, and so are the lights. Just lightning.
I know it's just lightning, but I saw a flash here.
So was I.
No, literally here, between you and me. It was flashing here. But sorry about that, dear listeners.
Well, one thing we are taught in science about lightning is that if you see the flash... not the flash. If you hear the sound, you are safe because of the speed that sound and light travels. So, if you hear the sound, you are safe.
But we saw the flash, Helmut.
I think that's my grandma. I'll call her after this. Look at.
But yeah, dear listeners. So you were still saying about mining.
Mining. Then the, you know, how, I think, that was, that was, no, it wasn't about mining. It was about, the whole, oil, more like, hype. I don't call it that, but anyway, what he points out is that, you have, with the oil discoveries, you have politicians basically, explaining what type of opportunities may come out of this type of this industry. And you have also investors telling you about what type of advantages or more like opportunities that comes out of this industry. But here's the thing, though. Then he points out that, irrespective of where this information is coming from, you have to take it with a pinch of salt. Because more often when it's coming from the corporate world, you have to take it with a pinch of salt because more often they say, they overhype things to increase their to increase the value, the value of their shares on the stock, on the stock exchange, something. Yeah. Now, politicians also will overhype it so that they can, well, basically give themselves a good name, more like, okay, look, this is what we are doing, and if you just side with us, this is what you're gonna get. Yeah. Bottom line is both the corporate world and the political world will give you, you know, will somewhat have a tendency of overselling something. Yeah, the corporate world for basically to increase, well, to give themselves a good name, because when you have a good reputation, especially when it comes to your future investments, a lot of people will be asking, okay, I mean, that sounds enticing, and a lot of people will want to buy in your company. Obviously, that shares, well, that sense your well, your stock price is going through the roof. That's an advantage for them, and politicians can overhype it. Corporate guys can overhype it. Now, as someone that does not belong in any of these spheres, I just want to know about a certain venture. It becomes very tricky for me to, you know, to figure out, like, who am I listening to now at this point? Because if both of them have the, you know, have the tendency of overhyping something, who am I listening to? I think this is where the media now comes in.
Of course.
Yeah.
Here's another thing also, Hamoud, when you've got to look at who you're listening to. And obviously this is now for the listener also to try and understand some of the particular developments. Obviously, Hamoud, like the various literature that you and I read sometimes in terms of, for example, that thing that I shared with you, which is a video.
Yeah.
That YouTube video. Now that is a video promoting hemp, but also promoting a future material. Now, I had no idea
hemp was that old.
I did not know that hemp is considered one of nature's super materials. And that in some cases, some people, some entities have called hemp to be even stronger than steel in terms of, you know, it's the strength of the fibers. They obviously look at that. They don't look at, like, how you build hemp into something. Uh-huh. But, I mean, I've interviewed the lady, Angela Prusa, who knows, who knew someone in England who built a house out of hemp. This is a particular conversation, because there's nothing wrong talking about a product that gives more pluses and bonuses, because it was cited there that hemp has the potential to literally, firstly, it requires less water than cotton. It can generate a bigger yield, a larger yield than cotton. The only difference as to why hemp is not widely used in clothing and other aspects was because the whole competition discussion, just like hemp and cannabis is, what do you call that thing? The global ban on growing the crop was primarily because of cotton producers in the US.
I'm gonna say, so these are the guys that lobbied for,
and the guys that had the slave market at the same time. At one stage in the 1800s, America was supplying 2/3 of the world's cotton. In the 1800s.
So there's nothing wrong with hemp.
There's nothing wrong with hemp.
It was just a PR to discredit it in order to make way for...
Plus, since both of them come from a plant.
Yeah.
People were investing more money in developing the processing machinery for cotton.
Than they were for hemp.
Up and until 2019, when a bunch of French researchers wrote a paper that came out in 2019.
Why is it always the French?
Because the French are the ones that also gave us democracy. The French.
Also, I know French.
The French also
democracy.
The French were also the ones.
French kiss.
Gave us a whole bunch of other things besides what you were thinking about.
Democracy. Let's stick with democracy.
Let's say on democracy. But in that nutshell, the paper that came out in 2017 by these French researchers at this specific university, so that knowledge was generated at a university, it was rolled out into the French textile industry. You see how academia and the private sector can work together.
Yeah.
It was rolled out and tested in the French textile industry, and lo and behold, they now have developed machinery that can process hemp, make it as softer and as, you know, for clothing and stuff like that, because you don't want your underwear made out of a very coarse
fabric.
Well, that was the example the guy used. Ad break, guys. We come back after the 10 minutes.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vindic beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vindic beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vindhuk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
Welcome back. 2 minutes past the hour of 5. Before we continue, we are going to take a 10-minute interview. And then that's when we'll revert back to Home Run. But, I will let you know when we are coming back to Home Run. But for now, we are taking a short 10 minutes interview. From Vilvicha University. What the interview is basically about. Vilvicha Integrated Services, WIS, the commercial arm of Vilvicha University, in partnership with the Hessing Clinic in Germany, continues a strategic initiative of providing Vilvicha University final year nursing students and alumni with exclusive international employment opportunities as registered nurses in Germany. This collaboration supports Namibia's goals under the National Development Plan 6 or NDP 6, particularly addressing youth unemployment and skills development. Following the successful first cohort selected in late 2024, who are currently undertaking a compulsory level A and B German language certificate courses at the Goethe Center in preparation for deployment to Hessing Clinic in December 2025. The program has entered its second recruitment stage. Current status, Vilvicha University students submitted applications exclusively to this opportunity. The delegation from Hessing Clinic conducted interviews with 57 shortlisted candidates on 20 and 21 October 2025 in Windhoek and Walvis Bay. Hessing Clinic will select 10 strongest candidates from this cohort to begin a German language training next year, preparing for employment in Germany scheduled for December 2026. Engagement activities. The delegation presented to Vilvicha University students on requirements for working as a registered nurse in Germany, career development and growth opportunities in German healthcare settings, application and visa processing for employment at Hessing Clinic. Significance. This initiative advances youth employment by providing practical pathways for Namibian nursing graduates to gain international work experience, contributing directly to NDP6 objectives such as youth empowerment, skills enhancement, and international labor mobility. Proposed key messages are as follows. Vilvicha Integrated Services, Vilvicha University and Hessing Clinic have established a unique tripartite partnership to facilitate international nursing employment opportunities exclusively for Vilvicha graduates and alumni. This is the second recruitment drive. The first cohort is actively preparing through language training for deployment in 2025. Selected nurses will undergo German language courses before starting work, ensuring readiness and compliance with employment standards. The program supports Namibia's NDP6 goals in youth employment and skills development. And we continue now to the interview.
Okay, Mr. Matthias, thank you for joining us. Can we start by, can you briefly explain the relationship between Vilvicha and the Hessing Clinic?
Okay, first I'd like to tell you some things about the Hessing Clinics. The Hessing Clinics is one of the biggest orthopedic clinics in Germany, and we grow very fast this time. And for this, we need many nurses and doctors to grow. And so we thought that we need more nurses. And the second thing is that we are part of the support Ulm Health Organization, mm-hmm. which spent beds and hospital material to Namibia for a long time. And so it was the idea of Professor Heinz Meyer, the chef of Support Ulm, to meet some important people of Namibia and to ask if we can make a contract who is better for the Namibian people. And so we meet very popular people here in Namibia. For example, Mrs. Monica Geingos, the First Lady, and the Health Minister of Namibia. And we present our project between us and the Vilvicha Academy, and they found it very great.
That's great to hear. So what is new with the second cohort of applicants?
The project is really special. If we want to get nurses in Germany from all over the world, we have to pay nearly 8,000 euro to an agentur. And we thought if it's better, the problem for this is that the 8,000 euro are only to the agentur, but to people who want to work in Germany or the university who teaches nurses. And so we thought if we invest in the partnership with Vilvicha, we give them 5,600 euro to make German courses with a good institute and for the teaching of the students, and for invest in new equipment. And we also invest 2,400 euro for a monthly a payment to them so that they can learn German. And for the nurses, it's better because they get money for the time they learn German, and we pay for them the German course. Mm-hmm. So we pay also 8,000 euro, but the money goes to the people in a win-win health situation, and for everyone, it's better on this way.
Yeah. So, speaking of the German language, why is the German language course important for this?
The nurses in Germany have to speak good German because they have to care old people, and the old people don't speak English so good as the young people in Germany, and for this it's really important that the nurses can speak very good German. And it's also we can't give them a German license for nursing if they can't speak German very good. They have to make a test in Germany so that they can come to Germany. And so it's important for them to learn first German, yeah, and then they can come to Germany.
Yeah, and I understand that there's a group of students currently learning German at the Goethe Center.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we choose 10 of the nurses last year in November, and they make a German course from March this year to November this year, and six of the 10 people learn German as good that they can come to Germany. The last persons make the tests this Saturday, and we hope that they will get the test, and so we can order the license for German nursing the next weeks.
Okay, makes sense.
So this project, because the Wiltshire University gets money for this, but you know, if we if we take 10 people this year, we come back to Namibia, we also take 10 people, so we have already take 20 nurses from here, and the Wiltshire Academy gets for all of them 5,600 euro. Mm-hmm. They have to pay German course, but it's enough money for this, and by 20 people it's a lot of money, and that will help the Wiltshire University for the future, it helps the Namibian nurses, it helps to get better equipment in the Wiltshire University. I thought it a really good thing for the Wiltshire University, and they can spend hope the nurses who don't get a job here in Namibia, because if they tell the people that they it's possible that they can come to Germany if they work hard and if they're a good nurse, maybe I thought that's a really, really good thing for all of them.
Yeah. And so what are some challenges that candidates should prepare themselves for?
I thought you have to know if the people come, although maybe our course of 10 people, they come to Germany in January.
Yeah.
And in Germany, they get a deficit degree. That means they have to learn German nursing. That's the same for all of the people all over the world. That means they work first time as a nurse assistant for 1 year. Uh-huh. And then they make the degree that they work as a full nurse in Germany after 1 year. We teach them a lot the next year, but it's not so easy to come to Germany to learn the culture. Maybe they have family backgrounds. It's not so easy, and we invest a lot in one person. You have to know 8,000 euros is also many money in Germany. And for this, we thought that we look in the in our calls that they a personality who can make it, who can come to Germany, who's a personality who will integrate himself in the German culture, and that's not easy to see. Because we have many questions for this, and for us it's not easy. We make 60 interviews to see who are the 10 best for this integration concept.
Yeah. Now, lastly, how can interested students or alumni stay informed about this opportunity? Where else can people get information about this?
Our partner is Mrs. Professor Scholastica Epinie from the Rich Institute, and all of the members from them, because we found that she made a great job for the nurses. It's a perfect private university. The nurses learn a lot. They are disciplinated, and it's our first contact, and she makes the first check which CV.
Great news! IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMPA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, what the world World Congregate. Download it and subscribe today.
Which CV we get, so we thought that with her together we find the 10 best people. That means that if someone is interested, they have to call to Miss Professor Scholastica, and over this way we get the CV, and then maybe some people can come to Germany. Actually, they have to study nursing in the Bavarian University, because of our cooperation and because we thought that she made a really good job there.
100%. And how can people get the professor's contact? Is it available online, perhaps?
If they call to Mrs. Scholastica, then we get the CV, and then we call. This year was here in Namibia, and we have 60 interviews, and Mrs. Professor Scholastica give us all the CV. She thought that they will integrate it in Germany very good.
Excellent, excellent. Before I let you go, is there anything else that you would like to share with the listeners that I didn't ask you?
I guess we want to say that Namibia is a really beautiful culture, and a really beautiful land here, because we've talked to many people here, and Mr. Professor Heinz Meyer, the chef of the Support Ulm Help organization, says so Namibia is a German Africa. So we are very happy here, and the Namibian people make great jobs, and we are proud that our nurses come from Namibia here, and for us it is really good to see that we can help a little bit with our project, a little bit for the Bavarian University and for Namibia, and we are proud of our cooperation.
100%. Matthias, thank you very much for your time, and we wish you a good day ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back from that short interview. We continue with The Home Run, and just in case you drifted off and over-enjoyed the interview from Vilvicha University with all the wonderful opportunities coming out of there, just a quick reminder. Now that we are coming back to today's home run discussion of the academic and media collabo. I was talking about taking it with a pinch of salt, because everything can be overhyped. At least that's what I learned from the introduction to Namibian economy, a book that always tap myself on the shoulder every time I remember Mr. Shobon's questions of how many of you have read my book, and everyone's like,
just two people.
Yeah,
and he says, no, Graham Hobwood,
you don't count.
Yeah, you don't.
And count. I was there in my house, you know, having my hand up. I'm like,
I also did the same dumb thing. I was literally
like, seriously, I'm right here.
I was like, Aish. This thing happened yesterday. It's a bit dumb reacting to something old. But yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. No, but you are right, Helmut. But just like I cited just before our 10-minute intercession there, just so you know, dear listeners, obviously the exciting developments coming through from Vilvicha University right there, obviously, in terms of also the various particular courses that they have on offer. So, when you got a look at how much what the media ombudsman cited, that media and academia literally have to be, they have to be like, you know, the family members that sometimes talk to each other, but not always talk to each other. They don't always hang out together, but they know they are family of each other.
Yeah.
You know, there's no like frosty relations and trying to exist in opposite poles, because here's some of the weirdest things that I've tried to do. And this is actually one of the things that I actually commend the media ombudsman on. That's now the new media ombudsman, Mr. Sadrak Shiomeka. And the important thing he cited there, because he himself has been a lecturer, an academic for a long time.
Yeah.
The previous media ombudsman, that being Mr. John Nakuta himself, is also an academic. He's also a lecturer himself. Not just being an admitted lawyer who can operate in the legal field, but also is a lecturer, you know, in the academia field itself. Now, when you look at this trend of the media ombudsmans we had, the media ombudsman before Nakuta, Clement Daniel, was a practicing lawyer. So, you obviously see the particular trend. It is now shifted to an academic being in the role in terms of, you know, looking at the various things. Whereas Clement Daniel at the start also had a unique eye towards the what do they call those things? You know, looking at the technical things like privacy, human rights, the public interest discussions around various disputes that obviously sprang up between private individuals, government officials, and the media publications that were obviously running their stories. But here's the thing, Helmut. In many cases, and I will give this nice little exercise to any listener who's interested in running this exercise. Whenever you go read an article, dear listeners, whether you compare the articles we do in our e-paper or for our social media posts, and you can look at the articles that you sometimes find in the other publications, and you have to look at the level of the discussion. If it's a report of a crime incident, you know, look at the particular investment in terms of the knowledge that you're busy extracting as a reader.
Yeah.
And then you go look at, or you go read a political story where it's sometimes quoted there as from close sources. They use these phrases, some are journalists, close sources to whoever or this, but without identifying. I know in the game of media, specifically in journalism,
you
don't easily reveal a source if the source says, please keep me secretive or please keep me anonymous. And then there's obviously that component. It depends obviously on the kind of category of article or story that you are busy producing. If it's an industry development, for example, and I'll cite this industry development helmet because it's literally something I told you even as a joke about. And I even came here to the studio and I came and told our editor Ivan about the story. Sorry, Ivan, for identifying. So what happened? Remember when I went to the Space Science Weeks that NCRST was hosting that Monday?
Yeah.
And then when I showed up there, there were these two American, scientists there as well, who were part of, an advanced, NASA program. And I sit through the whole process up and until I think like 12:30, get up, leave, come back, obviously, you know, get ready and send the necessary social media updates that we had for that week, for that day. Come here to the office and then, first and foremost, I had to call because on my audio, the names of the two scientists were not clear. I know that the scientist, the man, the American, his name, I could hear his name fully, but the woman's name, the female scientist, I couldn't get her name pretty clearly from, you know, how it was pronounced in the panel discussion that was also conducted. Just for me to call the guy, the media guys at, or the public relations guy at NCRST and ask him, hey, listen, man, what is the two American scientists? What are their names? I just need their names and their proper titles.
Yeah.
Because that I've got like the departments and the speciality. I've got that already. And then the phone is handed over to a person from MASAC, from Ministry of Education in the Directorate of Research. This lady worked previously with NCRST. She's now at MASAC in that specific directorate. The phone is given to her and then I get told, no, the space programs are, you know, secretive and stuff like that.
They just had a conference.
Wait. And I get told, please don't mention the two Americans' names because they potentially, you know, it might draw some sort of attention that maybe Namibia doesn't want. I sat there thinking, I said, no, it's okay. It's 100%. Done with the phone call. I said goodbye. She says goodbye. Switch off. And then literally just on the other WhatsApp group, the two scientists have to go do a presentation at NAST. And NAST identifies them. Boom! Right there. And I go like, okay, so they weren't, you didn't mention them on your program. But NAST mentions them on their program. They literally drove from...
You're watching way too many spy movies.
No, it's not the spy movies ever. It's a discussion. You have to identify the gray areas.
Yeah.
And the gray areas are never governed nor regulated.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with highlighting, let's say the identity of, let's say, specialists in their fields.
Yeah.
If they fly to Namibia, they come and talk in public at a public platform where a special invite is sent to you, the media, to come and cover the platform. You show up there. You are one of those, you know, eager beavers that love the content. Because, yeah, hey, you watch just too much Star Trek and just too much Star Wars. And you're like, hey, okay, let me try and find out. What are you guys trying to say here? And then you hear the questions, the conversation. You're like, oh, this is awesome. And just because you're trying to do due diligence as a researcher, because that is the main aim, Helmut, of journalists. You are a researcher. You research first. You read on the subject matter. You try to understand what is this field about. How does this field impact the audience that you wish to carry this message over to? Just to be told by a government official, don't mention any names. What's that sentence you love saying? Nemus. Don't mention any Nemus.
Yeah.
And then a university who is in the realm of knowledge sharing and knowledge development has to identify the specialists that are giving a specialist presentation. Now, here's the thing, Helmut. Here's the best part of this. NASA's whole website identifies every specialist associated to the Dragonfly program.
Yeah, including those guys that were out of Germany.
Including those guys as well.
Yeah, including the Operation Paperclip guy. I mean, they have pictures all over the NASA website.
Everyone is mentioned, associated to the program. Now, I get told here in Namibia for generating knowledge and content.
Doesn't this speak to how information is shared, though? Because now you have someone who sounds to me like scared to share information that should have been shared, or is it this person just didn't know what information to share and what not to share?
Helmut, I'm
especially when it comes to more like because it speaks to the, yeah, because it fits into we had a discussion on data.
Yeah, data interoperability.
The
importance of data as well. And even in terms of the gold mine, remember the standing committee reports that you and I always fawn over, not to make it sound, you know, obscene. Because we do love these reports.
The script writes itself.
Yeah. And it literally explains the picture as is. I mean, even a journalist from another publication, the state, one of the state owned ones, tried to dispute with me regarding, you know, the lithium mining discussion.
The alleged, illegal lithium mining.
I'm having a conversation with her in terms of, because we're talking about it, and I cited, it's a very interesting thing. I read that report from the standing committee. But then the journalist tries to sort of like smack down or
the report,
the value that the report gives without a shred of evidence in terms of saying the report is faulty. The report cannot be faulty.
Okay, the report is faulty now.
How?
Exactly, yeah.
The question you need to ask is how?
Yeah.
And then I asked her in terms of, but the report cites these things. But before we continue, guys, ad break.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom.
Half past the hour of five or half to the hour of six. You're still with Home Run, your Drive Time Show. And we're here until the hour of six as always. So,
yeah. So where I left off.
Yeah.
Now here's
standing
the
committee.
Yeah. Now here's the thing, now, Hamoud. I know. Back in last week, I said sometimes as Namibians, we have to interrogate what conversations the new crop of members of parliament are obviously engaging in terms of the conversations that are supposed to take Namibia to its developmental or achieve its developmental needs. So we have to look at what conversations are they having, what are the concerns that they're bringing there, and how do those concerns translate to the change that we wish to see. You and I, we also reached the consensus that the only entities in Namibia that can achieve the change are the local authorities on the ground and the executive, all ministries and agencies. Now, the reason why in the realm of research and methodology, every researcher, any academic will love the oversight reports that are generated by the National Council and the National Assembly is because these are people's representatives who go down, who are easily accessible by the same communities who have concerns. Those people, the communities will immediately talk to those representatives, Helmut. Just like this. I'll give you a case in point in terms of why I say that. My younger brother, who did his research program for his industrial psychology degree, this was now like 2013, 2014-ish.
Yeah.
No? 2012, 2011-ish. He said he had to go, he and his team, because it was a group project, these university students. They had to go into the informal settlements of Windhoek for the research that they had to do. And they had to go and get survey responses. Anyone that has done research methodology as a subject, that subject itself will tell you any knowledge that you did not know and it's knowledge that you potentially can see as value for your endeavor, your project, is knowledge that you must focus or factor in. Any knowledge. I mean, there's even running memes on social media about, you know, the guys that have to write research reports. Literature review is literally as big as a building. And then the final report is literally thinner than a text. It's literally thinner than a notebook, you know, the school notebooks for kids. But you've had to read extensively to factor out, you know, the various levels of knowledge that are created. But when you get like the discourse I've participated in, and I'm sorry for now inserting myself as a particular knowledge element in our discussion. But the discourse I've participated in, Helmut, is that in many cases, and it's specifically from journalists. In many cases, it's usually the political journalists or those that try to do the investigative corruption elements. They have this belief that they are the only authorities on a situation. Which is the weirdest thing, Helmut. For example, you and I can see when it comes to the discussion of like the NAMCOR arrests that week that the NAMCOR arrests happened.
Yeah.
You and I could immediately identify this was a governance issue.
Yeah.
What does governance have to do? Governance has to do with how well a business or an operation or a project is run. That's the aim of governance.
So it's a management problem.
Yeah. Or it's the kind of people you've got in those businesses.
Look, I mean, it's a, well, it's more often labeled that way in, you know, in the event of, you know, what, every time these things come out.
Yeah.
You start reading, you know, you start, you know, finding words that are used in the description or more like reports of these incidences as a mismanagement. So you have the word mismanagement popping up. So so it's more often it's a mismanagement or misappropriation. So it's a largely management problem.
Yeah. And a corporate governance discussion gives insights for any person who never understood what kind of character does an organization have. And many people don't know in Namibia that an organization has a particular character to it, has a personality to it.
Now,
when you ask any professor who's done governance, for example, when I interviewed Professor Kluter, no, Kutsia, Professor Kutsia on this governance issue, it was because in some cases I try to get sociologists to explain about human traits. You know, why would you see such a particular thing come about in a Namibian corporate? But then obviously it's based upon whether or not the private corporates or the state-owned corporates have been researched in terms of that research being made public. Meaning you have to run all kinds of psychometric tests. And then those psychometric tests have to be given permissions in terms of the identity, the data, the kinds of people, the gender makeup, the corporate structure itself, and then also the what's the thing's name? The lifestyle audits associated to that. Because it obviously has to mean, you know, what kind of money are these people being paid for the work they do? You factor in those particular dimensions. The discussion from there, Hamoud, would then be, what kind of a corporate entity, what's the typical corporate entity that has more than 100 employees in Namibia? What does it look like? What is its character about? Now, no journalist in Namibia, not even Dwight, yours truly here, can even, I mean, Hamoud, I don't even want to waddle into the realm of psychology. Because I would just be running the biggest scam with words there. Of trying to explain to a reader, the corporate structure is this and this and this and this kind of a, psychological makeup, and the board chairman has this particular kind of a viewpoint, and you can't.
You literally cannot. Yeah, I think that's the reason. That's the reason where, you know, where work ethics, you know, yeah, where the word ethics is very important in all disciplines. Because, take for example, as someone that's in media space like you and I, we talk about all kinds of reports on all kinds of subjects. Mm. So, there are these subjects, be it science, science or, well, a lot of subjects, because science incorporates a bunch of subjects. You can throw biology, chemistry, and basically all that. Well, now, or be it political, economics, and all that. Mm. We did not go to school and then specialize in these subjects, which is why we base, we have to take a source. Yeah, we need to take a source, for example, take a report, we're very good at, reports have become more like, our favorite thing at this point. Because, these are sources that are easy to reference. Where, if I'm sitting here talking about, you should be very careful how you spew out the word corruption.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy. I mean, it would been, I have to speak for myself here. It would have been very easy for me to point that, without the knowledge of the Office of the Auditor General's report on the Minister of Health's, emergency procurement. If I was just, if someone just pointed out that, to me that, there's a lot of emergency procurement taking place in the Minister of Health, therefore I think these guys are hiding something, maybe it's corruption, I would have fallen for it. Until they be,
and people have. A lot of Namibians have.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But now when you look at it, from the source of an organization, more like an entity that basically know what they're doing, like Office of the Auditor General's report, you know that these people, went, sat with the Minister of Health officials, and they did, they brought in their own expertise to basically look at the financial, more like a financial spending of this particular financial year.
Yeah.
And they saw that, there were a lot of emergency procurements, which are by their, I don't want to say by nature, by design, very expensive, because you want something delivered quickly. Obviously, that's not going to be cheap.
Mm.
So, these are expensive, but, now you can't classify that as corruption. You can't classify that as corruption, because this is not money that was taken from the ministry into someone's pocket.
Yeah.
They took it and procured something that was used by the ministry.
Yeah.
Just that it was not procured in line with the Procurement Act.
Yeah.
It's very easy to classify that as corruption, and you can easily classify that as mismanagement, because it costed a lot of money, but it was not for personal gain, which is more often the first thing that comes in our minds every time we hear the word corruption. So, if you ask me why I cannot classify that as corruption, I can easily point to you not what I think, but that report that's coming out of the Auditor General's report. The Office of the Auditor General, where they are pointing out this was procured, but it did not mean that they did not use any of that money for personal gain. But even after going through that report, I personally had a lot of questions, like why would someone go on an emergency procurement spree? Until the recent the discussion we recently had about the proposed amendments of the procurement act because procurements are taking longer because of more often disputes that are arising from bidders, making it very complicated for SOEs and ministries to make their procurements for them to basically get any job done, whether in provision of a service or acquiring a product.
Yeah.
So for them to acquire that, it's very easy to resort to emergency procurement, which are then expensive. So in other words, more often, as the general public, we are more often, especially the tenderpreneurs, we are more often to blame in most of these emergency procurements because it's our disputes on these tenders
that's causing
the delay,
yeah,
which is leaving a lot of SOEs and ministries it's not giving them a lot of options, but go the emergency procurement way.
Yeah. And then open it up in that scenario. The bidded amounts are in many cases inflated. Now that private sector supplier sees, oh, you have an emergency.
You have an emergency.
Yeah. Okay. Here's my rate card and here's my quote and this is how much it will cost. Take it or leave it. And then
you need it.
Yeah. No, they will obviously now tell the buying department of the ministry.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. That's the price we give you.
I'm saying, but the ministry, they need that. So.
Yeah. So, and then the dispute was probably never even sorted out.
Mm-hmm.
The disputed dispute, because for some reason, for example, like the foundation of our discussion from that opinion piece back on Tuesday, where it was literally based upon an interpretation of why did the minister not constitute an appeal panel 5 days from receiving the first letter. Then you've got such particular disputes also popping up, because in many cases, for some reason, people don't realize they've got to act according to the act that governs them.
Just miss one sentence.
But it's like I said, Helmut, my suspicion is probably it's in that particular period that the former minister was apprehended for the particular, allegations.
Yeah.
That were made. So, if you guys don't know which
allegations, plural.
Yeah. If you guys don't know which ministry.
That case is still ongoing, right?
Yes. It's still ongoing. But just where I left off, primarily in terms of citing, and I'm taking you all the way back to, just where we started off was, there are so many entities and sectors in the Namibian, you can even see it in the Namibian economy, that want to make use of media, academia and media, mining and media, government and media, the public and media. And then you've got obviously got the even entertainers or artists and media. And then in many particular cases, obviously it's the media views the particular discussions of, also through a transactional viewpoint, which is fair enough, because we as the media, we carry a burden specifically of having to transmit this message. But before, we've got an ad break, guys.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Okay, Mr. Matthias, thank you for joining us. Can we start by, can you briefly explain the relationship?
Yeah, sorry about that repetition of Mr. Matthias. He's stuck here. But if you missed it, don't you worry. You can just download the Eagle FM app and you can find it on the 23rd of October 2025 Home Run Podcast. But before we continue, let's take a live read.
Vyavitcha University for the 2026 applications, which are now open for the Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education. Programs on offer, Diploma in Legal Studies, Level 6, Bachelor of Laws Honours, Bachelor of Science in Project Management Honours, Bachelor of Supply Chain Management Honours, Bachelor of Education in Senior Primary Education Honours for Math and Science for the grades 4 to 7, Bachelor of Education in Secondary Education Honours for Math and Science for the grades 8 and 12. For the grades 8 to 12. Application fee is $230 Namibian. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, please call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Vyavitcha University, where everyone is an achiever. Namibia, are you ready to win big? Coca-Cola is giving away up to $1 million Namibian in prizes. Every week, one lucky winner walks away with $10,000 cash. All you have to do is grab your favorite Coke, Fanta, Sprite, Stony, or Twist in 2 liters, 1.25 liters, or 600 ml bottles. Look under the yellow cap, dial *142*45845 hashtag, punch in your code, follow the prompts to enter, and just like that, you could be our next big winner. Refresh, enjoy, and win with Coca-Cola. T's and C's apply. Go to our social media pages to watch the video on how to enter the competition. So yeah, guys, just where we left off primarily with the talk was everyone was to make use primarily of the media, because the media has this particular connecting point that connects the, let's rather call it the subject matter or the entity being spoken about or the individual and an audience. Now, the media also has the potential, obviously, of amplifying said particular message. But there is a particular uniqueness about this discussion as well, because primarily when you have to look at media and academia working together. Helmut, I'm sorry. Sorry for calling you out like that. Helmut, you have no surprise. You have no surprise in terms of the subject matter that people are interested in. I mean, even when you and I, we did our shows separately, you know, there was a former senior I had at my alma mater high school, St. Torres High School. We bumped into each other because we also played hockey together. He was just obviously in the senior team. I was like in the under 15, under 16 team. And then we chatted a bit and he said, he loves the subject matter, the content, the conversations, how our presenters present here at Eagle FM. He loves what we do here, but there was also one particular sort of like, if you could call it like an annoyance factor that he did not like sometimes, in terms of sometimes how, you know, some of us, the presenters at Eagle FM, we would repeat the exact same points, for example, in like one show and then in another show, it will pop up again. And then he also factored in terms of, you know, advancing a conversation past a certain level about the same subject matter. Mm. Now, that's obviously what you and I have been doing. We even break a conversation up into various particular points because we can see there's a new train of thought that follows this way. And there's new literature. And this literature is based upon an event that was observed, stuff like that. When you look at the realm, how an editor thinks and the news producers.
Oh.
They go for what matters now. Now, I'll tell you now, Helmut, when I look at international news, I am fatigued. There's something known as exposure fatigue. I am fatigued for anything Gaza. I am fatigued for anything about Ukraine. I am fatigued. I don't want to view it. The latest update, obviously, was the supposed shouting match between Zelensky and Trump last week when Zelensky visited. But you know what? Zelensky has been visiting Trump and the United States how many times in this past year? 4 or 5 times. So what's new? He's not getting his way. He comes with the same proposals. He's not. So why must I further report on nothing going anywhere?
Moral of the story, when you have an opportunity, save for a rainy day, because the Biden administration was an opportunity, was opportune time for him, and now that's a rainy day, thanks to being caused by His Royal Highness.
No, but
the
no.
World of rain. Yeah, because Joe Biden signed, Biden's administration signed check after check, and then yeah. Trump comes in and is like, yeah, Yeah.
No, but even then, Helmut, so with now those developments under Biden.
Yeah.
Even if you had to look at like an African context, we knew that the sanctions impedes access to wheat and grain products for the whole of Africa because of Russia and Ukraine being the world's largest
wheat
and grain producers. Because we've discovered that there was grain and wheat that is bought by South Africa's food industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes along the eastern coast of Africa into the port of Durban. And into the port of Port Elizabeth, which is now Gqeberha. And then it has to be used because South Africa then, its own local grain and wheat production is used or is sold somewhere else. And they are exporting or they're manufacturing, using it for other manufacturing processes. From that particular angle itself, Helmut, the conversation was even so particularly difficult to join the dots unless you knew an economist. Now, an economist is similar to an academic at a university. And they help by explaining certain topics. A journalist can literally also become a knowledge hub by reading on the subject matter, talking on the subject matter, engaging on the subject matter, because there are certain things, for example, this with these new podcast developments that some international news corporations are doing.
Digital space now comes in.
They now have these podcasts as well because they can't put it on their regular time frame for broadcasting.
Yeah.
Because it has to be a 3-minute thing there.
Yeah.
Now, what can you learn from a 3-minute video, Helmut?
Absolutely not.
About the Ukraine war. What can you learn from 5 minutes, Helmut? About the Gaza conflict.
Now, see, that actually explains a lot because, look, I only realized that with the, you know, with the 2024 National Assembly and presidential elections, because, I've read a bunch of articles on that report and they were just all like, a page at least. But the whole report is 80 something pages long. That means if you get the information from the, from either the National Assembly election dispute or presidential election from one article, you are going to miss a whole lot of information.
Yeah.
What you need is the whole report.
Yeah.
Because it's the whole report summarizes what did IPC say? What did LPM say?
Yeah.
What did this party say? What did this party? What did who say? Everything that's relevant to this case that brought about this ruling.
Yeah.
You can easily blame, media houses for not writing everything down, but can you imagine the size of that newspaper? It will be massive.
Yes, Hamad. Yeah. And it would be uneconomic.
I think it's important to basically take, let's learn to follow up in terms of, doing a background research on, on the subject. Mm. So if you find, take for example, a ruling of a case in a newspaper, go to eJustice. Find the case. Read the whole thing so you have the full story. Because more often when you just read the article, which is heavily summarized, because if you are, if you are reading, for example, our last year's election dispute from an article, you have to understand you are reading, what you are reading is a compression of 80 pages.
Yep.
So it's not that media house problem. Because again, like you just pointed out, it would be uneconomical for them to print all 80 pages of it. So that's just the breadcrumbs that they are giving you for you to follow and get the real story.
The
actual thing. Follow to the source.
Mm.
But more often we don't do that. We just, read that article and then just draw conclusion from there because we have the attention span of a fly thanks to social media.
Do you know that flies live for 14 days? Or is it 7 days?
It's been pointed out that, let me just say, short videos here are causing some, partly contributing to our decline in attention span.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that says, is that a psychological observation? Yeah. It's a psychological observation.
Yeah. The thing that also factors into like that discussion of reports now.
Yeah.
was also the discussion in sometimes, there was once I read an article who was using a report for its basis in terms of communicating the subject matter. And in some cases, because I once again won't mention names in our discussion, because there's also someone that I know that wrote the article. And I was like, how did you jump there? And I actually went and accessed the report, read the report.
How do you reach this conclusion?
Because usually you either read the conclusion or the executive summary to get like the summary of what's in the thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did you get to that statement in your article? Or does it lead somewhere or is it based upon something else? Nope. Then I discovered obviously from what think tanks also in Namibia are starting to do, like academic researchers, is that they are literally using footnotes to show where they got...
Yeah, a reference.
They refer literally to a document or to a source.
Yeah.
So as to say they are not making an inference, they are literally stating an observation that is found in another publication somewhere.
Yeah.
Which is very useful because you would see in some editorial around the country and even in the world, they make a statement which does not tie to where the statement comes from.
Yeah.
Are they the authority of the statement? Did they now just make up the mind for me, the reader? Because I'm reading something non-fiction, which is based upon, supposed to be upon the real world developments and fiction. In fiction, you can tell me anything. You can lie to me even. You can even give me a Star Wars compilation of 5 different colors and a floating castle kingdom somewhere. You can give me all that. Then because my brain already knows you're giving me fiction. You're giving me an imaginary context.
Yeah.
But when it comes to real world events, you've got to refer to either prior knowledge, either an actual event that had been documented, or you generated another report that ties into this new report. But you can't walk around making a statement on something. Because remember, what does the media ombudsman say specifically in the audios that I share with you?
Oh yeah, that's my favorite part.
No,
yeah.
you have to say that part.
that's my favorite part. And that was in reference to Africa, basically. We are gathering the wrong information by asking the wrong people using old equipments. And we are advising governments based on that information.
On that faulty information.
And that's gathered in a faulty way from the wrong people, also faulty. And the equipment, old equipment, also faulty. And the conclusion from that is faulty times 3. And now you're using it to...
Are you sure it's times 3 or times 30?
Yeah, let's just pick a number. Go wild on this one.
Times 300.
Yeah, so you're just taking this information and then giving governance advice based on it. So that's when I was like, oh, that explains this whole governing disasters.
Yep. And I mean, Helmut, the particular conversation even from that is a conversation where... Man, I even brought in another literature source. We needed another hour for this discussion. But before that, we've got an ad break.
When life gives you an unexpected expense.
How must I afford a new phone now?
Take control with Express Credit. Get reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars. Repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for quick cash loan. Easy application. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or call 90,000.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile poshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. opone ujende senawa nokumona oijemo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatime bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ime ko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma elane Eagle FM the eye.
So, a minute into business and economic segment, wrapping it up time, but just a little, 2, 3, 5 minutes and gone. Yeah, any source?
Yeah, so when you're looking at the particular discussions, even on you know, the resources that are available, right now, Helmut, the best thing is what I've enjoyed so far is being able to attend not high profile showy platforms where, you know, they might be experts, but they all come and make, you know, just water thin statements that are more political than anything else.
Yeah.
But when you go to like academics get into literally into the guts of the issue.
Yep.
They will tell you, no, it's because that thing didn't shine properly, or that thing didn't work, or you've got this and you've got that. Plus, also now, some of the nice things is that people can share PDF reports pretty easily.
Yeah.
Now, in many cases, there are confidential reports. You don't want to end up like that Democratic Alliance politician from the Mkonazi ad hoc committee who shared a police intelligence report that was not supposed to be meant to go to the public,
first of all,
or to the media. She knowingly shared the thing without recognizing that it is a confidential report.
Yeah.
And Mkwanazi knew. Because the police literally, as he stated, the police have bugged and are surveilling every single MP in South Africa's National Assembly.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that Mkwanazi was telling them, that you guys have to understand that, well, I'm on your side here because all your information
is being seen by that minister.
Yeah.
That minister, Mkunu.
You know what?
Who has been presenting since Monday.
You know what happens after that? Lot of blackmail cases now.
Of course.
A lot of it. Now, now it's a good thing you brought in why academics makes a very good sources of information, because even, you know, in the early days of the Russia-Ukraine war, a lot of people that got their news from just reading a newspaper article, they thought it all started on October 24, 2022. But now for you and I now that watch a lot of presentations from people like, you know, from people like Jeffrey Sachs or historians like Mearsheimer. Mm. Those are the guys that have like an hour long presentation giving you the whole history behind, actually taking you decades, literally decades before 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah. How the whole, how just the seemingly small series of events led up to this whole thing going kaboom. So, an article, take for example, that hour long presentation, you can't fit that in, you can't fit that in broadcasting.
No. No.
But that's, yeah, you need all the information for you to get a whole picture of what's going on.
And that's the thing, Helmut, because I mean, I know one of the interesting things is obviously we in the media, we try to capitalize on the information that we are broadcasting and distributing. And we obviously sometimes put a price tag on that, meaning we put a premium on it in terms of accessibility.
Yeah.
But even in like, in our case, like in the Villagers case, all a reader has to do if they wish to read articles daily on the Villager website is sign up for a free account. They're not paying for anything. You sign up for a free account. Or if you don't want to go that way, there's always subscribing to the Villagers updates.
Yeah.
You know, the Monday, Wednesday, and Friday releases. So you get it via your particular desired channel of receipt. The conversation from there is sometimes also where, if you have to look at what media can do, Amut. unfortunately, media was based upon a research, was based upon firstly a research and development incident that occurred, I don't know, back in Korea, way back.
Yeah, which that's, then that's somehow also flows, one thing that was referenced.
Who somehow flows to Germany.
Yeah,
because
okay.
If it wasn't for Gutenberg, yeah, someone else probably would have invented the same printing press, ne? But if it wasn't for Gutenberg,
yeah,
we all would not have known what a Bible looks like. And we would not have known that you need to translate something into something for another audience to read, because at that stage, yeah, the Bible was in Latin.
Yep.
When Gutenberg created the printing press.
Yep.
So Gutenberg had translators, he gave someone a job, and he had a printing press. He had printers.
Yeah, and the guys that were making money from the Latin Bible were not happy. Now our show ends here, and because well, David Alice as can chase the studio out, and
you know, Helmut, it's on things like that, ne? That I wish you don't speak Afrikaans. I was wondering, what are you saying? I mean, even David, even David's level is at Pixie level than you.
I'm better than him.
Way level.
Oh, David, the fact, fact that you know how to say Akantakta doesn't mean you know how to speak, Afrikaans.
As long as you don't make any of your Russian jokes here, ne?
No, absolutely.
Please. Because yeah, one of those Russian jokes is an Afrikaans.
Yeah, we're going to get into trouble. Yeah. For both. One in Afrikaans, the other in English.
Yeah, yeah.
So David takes it from here. Stay tuned for business and economic segment. And for Helmut, you all have a good one. Stay tuned for David. Until tomorrow, same time, same place. Iso be your favorite radio station. Igor. Yeah,
my favorite. Gunstling radio station, Helmut.
I'm going to give my co-host a heart attack.
On that note, guys, let's see each other again, same time, same place. Stay tuned for David right after the break.